All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here. This is Grimm's Uncanny Valley, and we are back with Chasing Sunset, so let's get started. We were running on fumes, surprised we even made it back. I need to gas the sled up. You better let Ray know you're safe before he has a meltdown. Thanks, Grim. Would have been a miserable night without that fire. And body heat. Linda's eyes narrow, and she shoots you a suspicious look. Were you cuddling with my daughter while I was asleep? I cuddled with both of you before the cabin warmed up. Survival rules. Don't make me show you mama bear rules. Get going, Ray will want to know I didn't leave a milfsicle back at the cabin. You ain't kidding. Probably best if you avoid the milf word around him, sweetie. He's got a fair bit of insecurity where you're concerned. And I hear you haven't done much to help with that. Linda turns back towards the lodge and pauses, perplexed. I don't recognize that car. Doesn't look familiar to me either. I'll come inside when I'm done with this. Phrasing. Google. Okay, so we have seen this stuff before, but this is a new version of the game. This is version 8B. We were playing 7A. So some things might have been, you know, slapped around, and, you know, they throw these things over here. There might be more story that we missed. Again, you should really be playing these, like, as they come out, because they change. What I'm reading may have had some added shit. I don't know what he's added, what he's taken away. Matter of fact, there should be version notes somewhere. Let me see if I can find them real quick and see if there was anything added. Let's see here. Okay, so. The dev cycle is starting to head into its final stretches, which means they're almost done with the whole game. And the whole 0.9. Oh, no, they're not. They're done with the 9 update, which would be Chapter 8. This is trending to be a larger chapter than the last one. And best estimate is between the end of September and mid-October. In addition to Chapter 8 update, I'd also like to tease our next project called Firebreak. Huh. Okay. So they're about to finish this one and they're working on another. Anyway, let's get through this. A few minutes later, entering the lodge, you see an attractive brunette woman. I mean, we have seen all this. There's no reason to go back through this. We know. Remember, he meets the reporter. Said, I'd like to arrange an interview. Nothing about me worth writing about. She sits on the living room couch, nodding towards the empty chair across from her. Reluctantly, you sit and wait for her to continue. For the record, I need to confirm that you're the biological son of the late Dr. Sarah Campbell Nee Forrester and the adopted son of James Campbell? Yep, that's me. Ah! She's gasping. I want you to know how sorry I am for your loss, and how terrible I feel bringing this up while the wound is so fresh. The empathy in her tone preempts the sarcastic retort you had on deck. I've had some time to process. As long as we don't linger on that topic, I should be good for a few simple questions. Simple it is. For starters, how's your sister holding up? As well as can be expected, or she's a soldier. It was harder on her. We didn't communicate well after getting the news. I had trouble getting back to the States, so she had it all on her shoulders. She almost had to bury Mom and Dad without me. I see. So her cross is a heavier one to bear than the one you carried for running away 5 years ago? Your chest tightens as she reaches right through your armor and exposes your throat. After a haymaker like that, you expect her to gloat, but her eyes reflect nothing but compassion. I thought you said these would be simple questions. Did you find that one difficult to answer? Difficult to listen to, maybe. But now I'm mostly trying to wrap my head around how well-informed you seem to be. What's this really about? Mallory brightens. An interview. Regarding what? How long will it take? Excellent questions. Then how about some excellent answers? I am tired and it's been a long week. Well, we could do it two ways. And those are? The first is a traditional interview. You sit down on camera with me and I ask you lots of questions. Define lots. We can usually finish it up in a day or two. With reshoots and edits, sometimes there's a follow-up interview. Groans. Look, Mallory, is it? Yes. You seem like a nice television lady. For the first time, a flash of annoyance breaks through her composure. Well, that's unflattering. I just checked my calendar and I don't have any openings for a day-long interview until never. If you recall, I said we could do this two ways. Then you're in luck. I do have an opening for the other way when the Browns win the Super Bowl. Cute. May I finish? Ugh. If you must. The other way is me tagging along with you while you do your thing for a few days. It lets me spread my questions out. I prefer to work that way. Answers tend to be more organic and spontaneous. How do you televise that? Oh, this won't be televised. It'll be a written piece. In the New England Globe, was it? Yep, you can veto anything I want to publish. I don't know. With all this snow, ski season could begin tomorrow or the next day. The Millers are counting on me to... You notice Linda trying to get your attention out of the corner of your eye. Her frantic gestures leave little doubt about how she feels having a celebrity at the house. Ah, fuck it. I must approve any article before publication and... If this goes sideways, we're done. Cool? In spite of yourself, you can't help but find her gratified smile... Yeah, her gratified smile infectious. Cool. Now I'm gonna shower. Go ahead and take my bed. I'll crash on the couch. On your way to the bathroom, you pass Erica and Linda in the kitchen trying to look busy. You can breathe now, ladies. She's staying a bit. Oh my god! Chuckle. Whispering River Lodge. Criminally early. Snore. Snore. Snort, sniffle. Up and at 'em. What time is it? 4 o'clock. Breakfast is getting cold. That means it's still yesterday. Want me to leave you here? Yes. Come on, get some breakfast. I'll take mine with almond milk and an extra shot. In the words of the great Henry Ford, you can have it any way you want, as long as it's black. Mallory sits up in your bed groggily. So there's no milk at all? Truck hasn't come yet. Given how giddy Linda's been, she might get creative if you ask nicely. Wait, what? Her eyes widen comically as she catches your meeting. Oh my god, does that mean what I think it does? Only one way to find out. Black is fine. A short time later, Mallory joins while you're loading the sled. Looks dangerous. Mm-hmm. Harder to control with two people on it? Yep. Spotty cell coverage if there's an accident. Definitely. Cool, I want to drive. Fuck with her or bullshit her? Was hoping you'd say that. Defrosted your rental and left the motor running. You win. All right, bitch. The morning goes smoothly. To your surprise, Mallory doesn't actually ask any questions. Fuck a duck! Then I remembered that movie and stuck a banana in his tailpipe. For a woman who built her fame on listening, she does a remarkable amount of talking. Turned out the intern was poking holes in condoms he kept in his desk drawer. In fact, you can't remember the last person in your life who had quite so much to say. Are there bears out here? Oh gosh, do you think they'd track by pee? You discover she has a gift for telling stories that makes you feel like you were there. Hell yeah, write it like you stole it. To your surprise, you find yourself showing her one of your favorite thinking spots. As you enjoy the first silence of the day, a thought occurs to you. Mallory may be the only person I know who has traveled as much as I have. In addition, every so often, something about her strikes you as vaguely familiar. That's when it happens. For the first time since Jay watched you play baseball in high school, you make a fool of yourself to impress a girl. Linda said you used to be an instructor here. Yeah, right out of high school. Could you teach me? Interview time's burning. Is it? Sure, I could teach you. The bunny slope, a short time later. I've moved your bindings forward for better control. How do they feel? I don't know. I can't afford to break an ankle right now. I won't let that happen. Don't make promises you can't keep. Well, you'd win a Darwin Award if you broke an ankle on the bunny slope. Challenge accepted. You've already nailed the first lesson, which is standing still on the slope with skis attached. I feel like I should keep working on that, really master it. No pain, no gain. The trick is to always remember that skis don't have brakes. You use turns and snow plowing. I don't know that much about skiing, folks. You use turns and snow plowing to bleed off speed. If I break an ankle, I'll break one of these skis off in your ass. Shh, just let it happen. Oh my god, that sounded so rapey. And how are you skiing backwards? I'm not. You're skiing forward. What? Don't worry, I got you. I'm going faster! Salome! I'm 100% sure we didn't cover that. Snowplow. I didn't really cover that either, did I? So much faster now. I'm going to come up alongside you. Watch and do what I do. Too close. Her pole trips you up and both of you tumble into the snow in a tangle of limbs. Oh, shit. Are you all right? Mallory? Shit, she's unconscious. I didn't think we bit it that hard. Skeptical at first, your concern rises when you don't see your chest moving. Please have a pulse. Forgetting you're wearing gloves, you cringe at your own stupidity. Mallory! You place your ear over her mouth and prepare to begin CPR. Quick as lightning, Mallory's tongue darts into your ear and you almost shoot out of your skin. Wet Willy! You don't know whether to be relieved or furious, so you just stare back at her dumbly. You should see your face. Ha 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 ha. Oh my god. Ha 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 ha. Christ, Mallory, I thought you were hurt. Or worse. Ha 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 ha. I have snow under my bra and it was still worth it. Ha 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 ha. Something about her carefree laughter and her joy at punking you shakes something loose. Okay, you got me. Mallory falls silent and stares at you. That's new. What? You have a laugh. I mean, it's a sad, timid little thing you probably keep in a closet under the stairs, but it's there. Well, don't get used to it. I'll try not to. And that was a Harry Potter reference? Nerd. Mallory resets her rear bindings and snaps expertly back into her skis. She flashes a coy smile at you and checks her balance. See you at the bottom. And I've been played. If you find my hat, can you bring it with you? As she picks up speed and fades from view, you realize you're still grinning like an idiot. Whispering River, late afternoon. As the afternoon wears on, you find yourself strangely unmotivated to return to the lodge. didn't ask me any questions today. That doesn't mean I didn't get any answers. You never answered my question. Which one? Or excuse me, which one? Is the whole reason for you being here about my parents? I answered. I said indirectly. But now, I'm not so sure. Hmm? Something about her seems familiar for a second, and then it's gone. Maybe I saw her once on TV or something? Hey, something has been bugging me. Have we met somewhere? Not before yesterday. I'd remember you. I have this weird feeling that I've seen you somewhere before. No, that's not right. Like I know you from somewhere. For once, Mallory remains uncharacteristically quiet. Jesus, sorry, that sounded like a low-effort pickup line. Nah, you don't seem like a pickup line sort of guy. You're all by yourself in there. What's that supposed to mean? What I mean is, you're on your path and sometimes people cross it. Maybe they walk with you on it for a while and then you keep going and they move on. But you don't leave it for anyone. Got all that from one chat and a morning full of chores? That... Or the army of investigators and the staff psychologists the globe has following you. What? Mallory almost sells it, but a giggle gives her away. Oh my god, you should have seen your face. Investigative journalism isn't exactly flush with cash. I'd have to pay for my own meals and everything. Not tonight. Anyway, we should head back. I'll be dark soon, and I... Excuse me. No, he won't be dark soon. It'll be dark soon, and I can't feel my face. When I'm... Oh, yep. I knew she was gonna sing that. Yep. But I love it. Of course, that's The Weeknd. Wait, what? Mallory blushes at her outburst. That song's actually about drugs. That's what he was saying. I can't feel my face when I'm with you. It's literally talking about, I believe it was it cocaine or heroin? I can't remember which one. But yeah, there's some interesting theories on that. But it's not about a person. It's about a drug. Which makes sense if you've heard some of his other shit. Like his experimental stuff before he got real poppy and famous. He did some weird shit that you'd have to be on drugs. You like The Weeknd? The guy that was on the Super? Yes, that guy. Listen to some of that weird shit that they just released. I think it's like 3 albums. There's some weird, crazy shit on there. And then he got famous. Mallory blushes at her outburst. That didn't happen. Was that The Weeknd? I said drop it. By the way, he's changing his name. He doesn't want to be called The Weeknd anymore. Yep, that's a real thing. You can Google it. He said he doesn't want to be called The Weeknd anymore. He said that's not the person he is. He wants to be known by his real name, not as that artist. I guess he got sick and tired of people calling him The Weeknd. It happens. Suddenly, Mallory's eyes narrow as something behind you draws her attention. What is that? Not falling for it. No, seriously, something moved over there by that tree. Skeptically, you turn to look in the direction she's pointing. Stay here. I'll have a look. As you approach the tree, you see imprints in the snow where animals have slept. It's just a dead animal. She approaches to see for herself. Are you sure? I definitely saw it move. God, it's a puppy. I think it's a husky or a malamute. How do you get way out here? That's so sad. I'm gonna cry. Just then you see a paw twitch. That's a wolf. That's not a dog. It's a wolf. I don't see any wounds. It's either internal injury or illness. It's pretty small. Maybe it's a runt. Or maybe there's something else wrong with it, so the pack rejected it. More like they smelled us coming and fled. Probably watching us now. What should we do? Tough call. If we leave it here, the pack will come back and stay with it until it gets better, or dies. On the other hand, it's in pretty bad shape. Likely won't recover without care. Care it might get if we carry it back to the lodge and call the vet. It's not a sure thing. There's risk with that, too. If we treat it and it recovers, the pack may not accept it again. It could be an outcast? Maybe. Gambling either way. Right now, my gut says its best shot at recovery is with 3 hots and a cot. Dogs only get fed once a day. Mallory's tone changes and her voice quavers, her confident demeanor shattered. What just happened? She looks haunted. What are you going to do? Let's save the dog, or the wolf, rather. It's coming with us. You sure that's for the best? Nope. Are you doing this for it or for you? Both. And if it's exiled by the pack? At least it'll be alive. Where there's life, there's hope. When you can't see the future, all you can do is the next right thing. What if... Wait, did you just quote Frozen? No! You did, you dork! You pick up the pup. Oh, it's a small one. You pick up the... Well, it was a pup anyway. Yeah, so it makes sense. You pick the pup up gently and are surprised by how light it is. There's nothing to it. Feel these hindquarters. It's all fur. Pack's not eating well, it seems. It's a boy. What gave that away? Let's call him Hank. Hank? He doesn't look like a Hank. Really? What's a Hank supposed to look like? Sell propane and propane accessories. I don't know. Neck, beard, beer belly, and a wallet chain? Wow. Judge much? Mallory gives you an icy glare. Well, I hope it's not after Hank Williams. He died young. Nope. Hank Keel. I'll be damned. Well, I say. What'd he do? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He sure did. Sold propane and propane accessories. Man. Okay. This game just got better for me. And he suffered from diminished gluteal syndrome. Diminished? Oh, he had no butt, just like this little guy. I remember that cartoon now. It's coming back. I know. Yeah. And voice actor's dead. And, they actually did record some lines. And I guess they're just gonna do like a burial for him, but oh yeah, they were definitely bringing back King of the Hill. They'd already recorded episodes. I didn't even know it. I mean, I want to see it. I mean, Dale no longer with us, but I mean, they'll figure out something, because you know, the Leanne's voice actress died also, so it's going to be kind of bittersweet, you know. Mike Judge, of course, he does the voices for Beavis and Butthead, and a lot of those characters are okay. But when it comes to King of the Hill, there were several different voice actors, and, yep, some of them didn't make it. That's life. On second thought, I like Hank. That's clever. Yeah, I'm a real fan of the clever name game. And we enthusiasts prefer the term adult animated series. Well, technically it was. As you trudge back to the lodge, Hank in hand, Mallory walks by your side, lost in thought. After a moment, you feel her gloved hand slide inside the crook of your arm. Are you crying? Pocket sand. Oh, look, he peed. Fuck. Conservationist. Whispering River Lodge, that evening. Mallory is reading a book on your bed as the afternoon begins to fade. I actually really like the way this novel is spread out. It feels like I'm actually reading a book. It doesn't feel like a game. It has choices, but it really feels more like a book. Even the sex scenes, they're not just like sprite moves. Sometimes they are, but the one with Emily, or I think that... No, Erica, not Emily. The one with Erica it wasn't like your normal scene. It felt like you were reading from erotica or something. I kind of like that. Hey. Hi. So I've got good news and bad news. Don't make me choose. Wasn't gonna. Good news first. Hank had bloat. Bloat? Yeah, his stomach got twisted in a bad way. How, birth defect? No, it's common in canines when they get air in their digestive tract. Vet was able to get a tube in him and decompress his stomach. He must have been terrified. He was sedated. Still is. Anyway, vet thinks he was able to get the stomach rotated. That's good, right? Yeah. He's gonna spend a few nights at the clinic for observation, but he's out of the woods. Mallory jumps off the bed and hugs you for a moment before a flicker of doubt clouds her eyes. Wait, he's literally out of the woods. What if his pack won't take him back? The Parks and Wildlife officer says that's not how wolves roll. They apparently do the family thing a bit better than people do. Speaking of family, Erica rode with Hank in the vet's rig, and Ray followed in my truck so he can drive her home. Her dad did that for her? Yeah, that's what dads do. Not all of them. So it was the right decision. Sounds like it. He wouldn't have recovered on his own. Bloat is fatal. Mallory hugs you again and impulsively kisses your cheek. You did a good thing today, mister. She pushes off suddenly and looks at you suspiciously. Wait, what's the bad news? About that. I got a call from home. How's that bad news? Seems that my parents' estate is out of probate. That's good, right? Shrugs. It's a turning point in my life, no matter what. And whatever happens tomorrow affects a lot more people than me. Wait, tomorrow? That's the bad news. If I fly home tonight, red eye. Only Ray has my truck, so I see a very long ride share in my future. I see. So I guess you don't get your interview. And I have to bail on Ray and Linda the night before the resort opens. I tried to postpone, but George is flying off on business the following day. Indefinitely, apparently. George? George Worthwent, our family attorney. Silence hangs between you for a moment. You expected annoyance and frustration from Mallory, but she just seems sad. I'm sorry. Don't be. I'm not upset about the interview, Grim. And don't worry about your friends. They were counting on me. Were. I talked to them earlier, and you're the only reason they're ready to open tomorrow. Ray thinks you walk on water. But they'll understand, and I do too. If I seem disappointed, it was because today was so unexpected. Yeah. A proposal, if I may? Shoot. Since my story is flying out tonight, I should too. So let me drive you to the airport. Apparently, my rental has already been defrosted and warmed up. Yeah, that was a dick move this morning. We'll get past it. Anyhow, this way you don't have to inconvenience Linda or pay for a long-distance Uber. Are you sure? That'd be great. It's not entirely selfless. It's 2 hours into Denver at least. I can squeeze a lot of questions into 2 hours. Maybe even enough to publish my story. Thanks, Mallory. Go tell Linda what's up. I'll start packing your things. Whispering River Lodge a short time later. I think I had a harder time with that than Linda did. Of course you did. She's a grown-ass woman. She knows this is out of your control. Though I won't lie, that cougar's got more than strictly professional feelings for you. We all know that. You think? Card-carrying woman. We can sense these things. Sucks I won't be able to talk to Erica and Ray face to face, though. I think you're either underestimating them or never mind. Check that the luggage is secure before we head out. Oh, hey, there's something I forgot to give you before we go. You turn back towards her inquisitively just in time to catch a well-aimed snowball to the face. Oh, you're gonna pay for that. With military-grade accuracy, Mallory lands a second snowball across your mouth. You scramble for a handful of snow. Mallory's third salvo barely misses your head before you find some cover. You see your chance to return fire as Mallory kneels down for ammo. Eep! He shoots! He scores! And the crowd goes wild! Mallory doesn't respond. She just crouches when you struck her with her head bowed. Smelling a trap, you pack a preemptive snowball before approaching her carefully. Are you all right? Don't come any closer. She doesn't look up at you, but you see her searching the ground frantically for something. Did you lose something? Yes, stay there. You could step on it. As her fingers roam the icy ground, you realize she's crying. I shouldn't have thrown it so hard. I'm sorry I hurt you. You didn't. I mean, it didn't hurt. And it's not your fault. I started it. How can I help? You can't. What did you lose? I have really good eyes. Heh. In spite of her objections, you began edging towards her. This time she doesn't object. Hey, whatever it is, we'll find it. Let me get a flashlight out of the crash kit. Forget it. I can replace it. Replace what? I lost a contact. See, that's what I thought it was. A contact? How bad is your vision? Do I need to drive? My vision is perfect. I'll be fine. Then why do you wear contacts? Mallory doesn't answer immediately. Finally, she reluctantly raises her tear-stained face into the light and makes eye contact. Because this is how I was born. Wow. Man, that could set up a romance with her. You help a shaken Mallory to her feet and gaze reassuringly into her mismatched eyes. As you pull her close, there's barely a hint of resistance as she melts into your arms. The TV reporter? Okay. The kiss isn't raw or needy, it's soft, inquisitive, and lingering. Her scent is pleasant and natural, untainted by lotions or perfumes. Wow, man, that's a line, isn't it? As you pull away, Mallory stares back at you with a mixture of shock, happiness, and panic. Why would you kiss me? Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I wanted to. And you are. Beautiful. She avoids your gaze, but at least she's no longer crying. We should get going. You ponder the events of the past few days as your plane reaches cruising altitude. Looks like George pulled out all the stops and got me a charter flight. Okay, so as we fly back to the estate, we'll find out what happens next. But tomorrow is the 29th, and then we have, let's see, the 30th, which is Saturday. So maybe I'll do something on the 30th. So let's see here. Today, yeah, it's October. No, it's not. It's straight up September. Yeah, it doesn't become October to Sunday. So, yeah. You know what? We might be able to. Depends on how I feel on Saturday, but I probably do. Maybe I'll do this in Lust Theory, since someone requested another play of Lust Theory. They said they wanted me to continue the story, even if it would be just me searching for events. However, if that doesn't get a lot of hits, I mean, I'm not going to continue with that and I'll move to something else. But we're going to see what happens because it was requested and I am going to go ahead and do another Lust Theory. So maybe I could do another one of these as well. I do really like this story. By the way, it's, I think, written by a husband and wife team. So yeah, there's a woman's touch on this, which there is in a lot of these games if you don't realize that yet. Kentir and Stoya. I have no idea who those people are. I don't know if they're men. I don't know if they're women. I have no idea. But let's see. But anyway, you can pick up the game at itch.io, and I paid like $5 for it, but you can get it for $10, as I said, and continue the story yourself. At any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I'm out for Grim's Uncanny Valley, and we'll see you next time with more Chasing Sunsets. Maybe.